21. Mark 5:21, when Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue rulers named Jairus came there. Seeing Jesus, he fell at his feet. And he pleaded earnestly with Jesus, "My little daughter is dying. Please come put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." If you're following from last week, the disciples had just crossed the Sea of Galilee in the middle of a storm. And now Jesus brings them back across the other side. Pretty bold move by Jesus. And the disciples now seem to be getting used to being met by crowds and people pleading at Jesus' feet on the shorelines of the Galilee. Jairus comes forward to Jesus. He falls on his knees and he pleads verbally to Jesus, crying out, "Oh, if you just come and if you just touch her, she will be healed and she will live." Jesus, she's 12 years old. She has so much more life. This is unfair, and I need you. Some things we know about Jairus. We know he is a pretty important figure in society. We know his name, for one. People knew who this man was. This is Jairus. And we knew his title, his position. He's a synagogue ruler. He's a pretty important person. So this man of great power kneels at Jesus' feet. A rabbi, he says, "I need you. We are out of options." Continue with me. Mark 5:24. So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all that she had. But instead of getting better, she got worse. And when she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him through the crowd and she touched his cloak, because she thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I'll be healed." Immediately her bleeding stopped. And she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. And he turns around in the crowd and he asks, "Who touched my clothes?" His disciples said, "You see people crowding around you everywhere and against you. Yet you ask, 'Who touched me?'" Jesus goes on his way with this man of power, Jairus, to heal his daughter. And he's on his way. He's in this massive crowd. And this brave woman reaches out and just touches his clothes, thinking, "If I just touch his clothes, I'll be healed." And Jesus stops because he felt power go from out from him into somebody who needed it. And he says, "Stop. Who touched me?" His disciples look at him like he's crazy. "Are you kidding? There's people everywhere. Everybody's touching you." He says, "I felt power go out. This is different. Who touched me?" And he waits. Looks around again. "Who touched me?" It's the bleeding woman. She has no name that we know of, no official title except, unfortunately, Bleeding Woman. Her title states her as someone who's unclean. She's had this bleeding going on for 12 years. 12 years, and seen doctors for 12 years, and they can't do anything except take her money. So now she's poor, and she's alone, and she's unclean, so she's cast out. And here's the problem with it. Culturally, religiously, if you are someone who is unclean and you touch somebody who is clean, now they are unclean. And they have to remove themselves, be cleansed, and then they can come back when the sun goes down. So she extends her hand, and as they believed, made Jesus unclean. She touched a rabbi. She touched a rabbi, and she's unclean. Jesus keeps looking around. Who touched me? And she comes forward, the Bible says, trembling with fear. Trembling with fear because she knows what she did. Thinking probably in her mind, I'm sorry I made you unclean. I had to touch you. I had to be healed. Trembling with fear, she comes to Jesus. She kneels down and she tells her whole story. She gives him the truth. She tells him what the doctors she's seen. She tells him how long it's been. This is my problem. This is what's going on. I can do nothing about it. And I'm sorry, I just knew that if I touched your clothes, I'd be okay. Jesus looks at her and he calls her a new title. He says, daughter, go in peace. Your faith has healed you. Go and be free from your suffering. Just as he says that, friends of Jairus come up and they say, Jairus, it's too late. Your daughter's dead. Don't bother the teacher anymore. And Jesus pays no attention to this friend. And he looks at Jairus and he says, don't fear, just believe. It's a little bit of an awkward scenario where Jesus first goes with Jairus. Jairus is thinking, this is great. This is finally going to work out. And Jesus is interrupted by this unclean woman who reaches out and touches him and takes power and she's healed. And then he stops and calls her out and hears her whole story, taking several minutes. In the meantime, Jairus' friend comes and says, it's too late. It took too long. There's no more hope. If I was Jairus, I'd be pretty upset, truthfully. And Jesus says, don't be afraid, just believe. Continue with me. This is verse 37. Jesus did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John. When they came to the home of the synagogue ruler, Jesus saw a commotion, people crying and wailing loudly. And he went in and he said to them, why all the commotion and the wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep. But they laughed at him. And after he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and these three disciples, and he went in where the child was. He took her by the hand, and he said to her, Talitha koum, which means, little girl, I say to you, get up. Immediately the girl stood up and walked around. At this, they were completely astonished, and he gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this, and he told them to give the girl something to eat. Jairus and the bleeding woman have very little in common by status. Jairus is a ruler. He's well-known, well-respected. He's probably well-off. We know his name. And the woman, we don't even know her name. She's poor, she's alone, and she's unclean and been this way for 12 years. But there are three things that they share. The first is that they endured suffering that needed a miracle. They were out of options except a miracle. The second thing, they extended themselves and they believed. They found their way to Jesus. They knelt down and they pleaded. And for the woman, she snuck a touch and brushed against his cloak. In their own way, they invited Jesus' touch. The third way is that Jesus saves them both. Jesus responds to both of them, both of their needs. And they named what they needed. I don't always have words to name exactly what I need. I don't always know what I really need. There's been times where life has been so difficult and sad and a struggle, and bad things keep happening to whether it's somebody I'm close to or to myself or to my family or to a friend, and it just feels like everywhere I look, worse things keep happening, and I lose the words. But at times like this, when I run out of words, it is important that I name that I have a need, and I ask, and I listen. These two have had needs for a long time. And when they got their chance, they stopped at nothing. They took great risk. A powerful man getting on his knees. There's nothing more I can do. An unclean woman touching other people and then touching a rabbi, taking all risk just to be healed. I'm going to read an excerpt from this book, The Circle Maker. I recommend it. The author, Mark Batterson, tells this story of the two men in Jericho, the two blind men in Jericho. Jesus is on his way out of Jericho when two blind men hail him like a taxi. "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." The disciples see it as a human interruption. Jesus sees it as a divine appointment. So he stops and he responds with a pointed question. "What do you want me to do for you?" Seriously? Is that question even necessary? Isn't it obvious what they want? They're blind. Yet Jesus forced them to define exactly what they wanted from him. Jesus made them verbalize their desire. He made them spell it out. And it wasn't because Jesus didn't know what they wanted. He wanted to make sure they knew what they wanted, what they needed. So then he asks this. What if Jesus were to ask you the same question? What do you want me to do for you? Would you be able to spell out the promises, the miracles, the dreams God has put in your heart? I'm afraid many of us would be dumbfounded. We have no idea what we want God to do for us. And the great irony, of course, is that if we can't answer this question, then we're as blind spiritually as these blind men were physically. It can be so hard to admit that we have a need. Even if we don't know what that need is, it's much more common and sometimes more comfortable to not admit we have a need at all. And to say, "I'm fine." If you're not from Minnesota, you'll hear that a lot. "I'm fine." Which, according to Urban Dictionary, "I'm fine" is the most told lie in the English language. Next to, "I have read and agreed to the terms and conditions." Urban Dictionary's preaching. Thanks for the definition, Hugamoosh 3. But jokes aside, this is extremely important. Our faith is hanging in the balance with this, right? That if we say we believe in Jesus and we're unwilling to admit that we need him, it's an oxymoron. How could we say we believe that Jesus can change things and do things in our life if we're unwilling to say we even have any needs? Sometimes we have a hard time thinking about this, thinking we're being too selfish. Oh, I'll be fine. It's not that bad. So-and-so has it worse, which is probably true. But you have needs too that Jesus cares about and Jesus has known for a long time. We can't afford to simply accept a faith and a relationship in Jesus without having the courage to kneel before him and admit that we have a need and spell out what it is. And when we're out of words for what our needs are, that's when we invite this community, this church, and our friends and our family to pray for us. Pray for me. I'm out of words. Like Batterson said, is this so Jesus is clued in? No. Of course he knows. But if this relationship is going to work, you need to be honest. Will you have the courage and the faith today to finally kneel and name your need? Invite Jesus' touch and believe the words that Jesus told Jairus. Don't be afraid. Just believe. Even when everybody else says it's too late. And so that you too, like he told his precious daughter here, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. Amen.